This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And now we would like to take you into the world of independent bookstores. Barnes & Noble, and especially Amazon, have, in many respects, dominated the book market in recent years. But even in a pandemic-driven world, to put a new spin on that old Mark Twain saying, reports of the death of independent bookstores are an exaggeration. In 2018, Planet Money's The Indicator looked into this topic.
When Amazon waxed the brick-and-mortar bookstore business, the independents were decimated, sure. But the corporates, the big box stores and the chains, they really got crushed. Like Borders, which was one of the biggest bookstore companies in the US, went out of business. So that kind of cleared the decks.
What you begin to see is a bifurcation of the industry where that indies represent this high-touch environment, high experience, a chance for the consumer to engage on a set of very personal dimensions versus Amazon, which is really about, can I just get something quickly at the cheapest price?
Oh, man. Early 2000s, Brian spent a lot of time at Borders. That was Planet Money's Patty Hirsch and Harvard Business School professor Ryan Raffaelli. There are an estimated, though, 2,500 independent bookstores across the U.S. And according to the American Booksellers Association, more than 300 new indie bookstores have opened in the past 2 years. And some of those shops are right here in Illinois. We're bringing on the owners of some of those stores now. Tamara Felden is the owner of The Artsy Bookworm, which opened just last year in Rock Island. Tamara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Dave Pedersen is also with us. He's the owner of Maze Books in Rockford. They opened their doors in June. Dave, thank you for being here as well.
Pleasure to be here, Brian.
Other Illinois bookstores have held on through the pandemic, and that would include Bob's Bay Books in Bloomington, which has been owned since 2015 by Elizabeth Asbury. Elizabeth, thank you for being with us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And finally, to help us look at the bigger picture, we are joined by Melissa Peterson. She is program coordinator for the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association based out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Melissa, welcome to the 21st Show to you.
Thanks, Brian. I'm super excited to be here.
And listeners, as ever, we would love to hear from you at 800-222-9455. What do independent bookstores mean to you? Do you have a favorite indie bookstore in your part of Illinois? Tell us about it at 800-222-9455. Do you prefer shopping in person? Or maybe the convenience of shopping online overcomes any desire you have to actually thumb through books. 800-222-9455 to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Elizabeth, I'm going to start with you and Bob's Bay. What brought you into the world of books and the world of bookstores in particular?
So I guess I sort of just got plopped right into it is the best way. I've always loved reading. I've always been an avid reader. When the shop was first opening, the brick and mortar store back in 2009, I was looking for my first job. And the owner invited me to work for him, and it you know, in 2015 he wanted to do something else, and I was like, well shoot, I don't want to do something else. I enjoy this. I love where Bob's Bay is headed, it just sort of, the rest is history. I guess I just sort of somehow ended up owning a bookstore at 20 years old. I still don't
just
know
happened.
Who let me own it, but it's working out okay. Yeah, I don't know. Ever since I can remember, I just have loved being around books, and I'm just so grateful I get to do it for my job.
Tamara, let me ask you the same question. Of the Artsy Bookworm in Rock Island, I should mention. What brought you into the world of books and bookstores?
It was really the pandemic that pushed me there. I have been a lifer in higher education. I retired a number of years ago, and I've been involved in my community in a variety of ways. And I saw how hard the community in general and specific individuals were hit. And that included some of the independent businesses, some of the independent small businesses in town, right? And I kept thinking, what could I do? And then one day I came by this little building and it had a for lease sign out. And I thought, oh, somebody should put a cute little bookstore in there. And it's in my neighborhood. So I kept coming by there. And so it only took a few days until I thought, maybe I should put a cute little bookstore in there. So I did.
Nice. And Dave Pedersen of Mays Books in Rockford, same question. How did you get into books and bookstores?
Sure. Well, I was in public service for 7 years, and I was kind of like tomorrow, COVID-19 hits. I'm at the VA, the Manteno Veterans Home, as the director of volunteers, and it just kind of turned your life sideways. And I think we're all kind of living in this environment where we all need to kind of slow down a little bit. We were disconnected from people for 2 years. I made a decision that I wanted to end public service and kind of be a voice for the community. I was active with AFSCME as a local vice president for the union. And I kind of wanted to do that on my own terms without oversight from government or labor union. So Rockford didn't have a bookstore downtown and it needed one. So I took a chance and here we are.
Nice. I love those stories of bookstores coming back. Melissa, let me bring you into the conversation now with the Independent Booksellers Association, the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. Can you talk about the different forms that independent bookstores take and the different approaches you see independent booksellers taking?
Sure. It's a really exciting time. There are so many unique and creative business models out there. And I think it really got creative because of the pandemic and figuring out new ways to serve customer bases. So, you know, everything from a pop-up to just strictly online book selling to, you know, your old-fashioned brick and mortar store. These new stores out there have really taken chances and they've definitely paid off. So it's an exciting time.
All right. I mentioned the phone number, 800-222-9455, if you want to join our conversation. And we have Robin calling from Ottawa on line four. Robin, thank you for calling in.
Hi.
So go ahead. Yeah.
I'm the bookstore manager at the Starved Rock Visitor Center for the Starved Rock Educational and Historical Foundation.
Oh, nice. How has business been at Starved Rock?
It has really picked up since the pandemic. We were closed down for like 14 months and building back up last year, and this year has been great.
What's your most popular book there, if you can narrow it down, or maybe category?
Probably The Starved Rock Murders by Steve Stout.
Yeah, a lot of interest in those, aren't there? All right, Robin,
cover everything, all kinds of nature books. We have kids' books. So we've expanded a little bit into kids' books, which has really helped.
All right. From the Visitor Center at Starved Rock, thank you so much for calling in, Robin. We appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Bye-bye.
Elizabeth, let me come back to you, Elizabeth, and let me just reintroduce our conversation, actually. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about independent bookstores, where they've been, where they are today, where they're going. We're talking with Melissa Pedersen, program coordinator with the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association, as well as three independent bookstore owners here in Illinois. Tamara Felden owns the Artsy Bookworm in Rock Island. Dave Pedersen owns Mays Books in Rockford. And Elizabeth Asbury owns Bob's Bay in Bloomington. And Elizabeth, you mentioned you've been working at this bookstore since 2009. That was the height of the sort of financial crisis, the Great Recession. What have you seen changed with the store, with the industry over that time?
So we originally started, started on eBay in 1999. That's where the name comes from, Bob's eBay. And then the brick and mortar started in 2009 as a buy-sell trade with a heavy focus on books. And I was primarily responsible for the book portion of the store. But when I purchased the shop, I joke that people saw me have a quarter life crisis in public. Normally you have those in private. But I was like, what do I want to do to make the store my own? So I just really leaned into books. When in 2009, when the recession was going on, there was a lot of, you know, pawn shops were thriving, buy sell trades were thriving because people, you know, needed money. And they wanted to also find goods for an affordable price. They realized, I don't need to buy this new. And we are a used and new bookstore. And I'm seeing more interest in trading in books to get more used books. I'm seeing that increase, you know, with the current economic situation that we're in. So I am seeing that sort of mirror, but not as much right now. I obviously didn't know all the financial stuff that was going on in 2009 when I was just an employee. But I'm seeing some similarities, but not, it is, I think people are more prepared this time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those weird times too, where people individually in surveys, they say they're doing fine economically, a lot of people anyway, but they think of the overall economy as not doing great. It's a weird time. Tamara, let me ask you, you opened the Artsy Bookworm during the pandemic. How was that? That must have been it seems like a challenging environment, to say the least.
Yeah, so I had all my life always been employed and always in higher education. So I never had any risks as to what would happen to my enterprise, right? And so that was a new kind of thinking, but I thought, okay, I will take this risk. I will bet not only on myself, but on my community that we can do this. And it took a few months to get the space ready and to put a lot of the things in place that we needed to put in place. And I decided to focus on curated sections that offer something to populations who are often not getting that much attention in bookstores. We have a huge selection of Black authors. We have a large Native American section. We have a large LGBTQIA plus section. We have a large neurodiverse section. And I felt that I'm somebody who, wherever I traveled, these were the bookstores that we're talking about that I would seek out. And I felt that I wanted somebody to be able to come in and find a book that they didn't even realize they had been looking for, but that was somehow the answer to something that gave them a new insight, something that reflected their experience in a way that they don't often find. And so I decided, you know what, the pandemic is here, eventually it'll end, and if it doesn't, then we will somehow live with it. I'll try this and we'll see how it goes. And the community has responded wonderfully. People come in. We're at the point where friends meet each other in the store. We have a large number of local authors for whom we have events to bring the community in and also put them in touch with the individuals who write some of the books we carry and so on. So probably without the pandemic, circumstances would have been more optimal. But then if there hadn't been a pandemic, it would have never occurred to me to open the store. So I think the store and the pandemic somehow fit together in a weird way.
Yeah. People had more time to read too, possibly. Mm-hmm. Dave, what about you in terms of curating your store's offering? Talk about how you go about that.
Well, when we opened, it was basically whatever I could find. I was just scrounging for books. I didn't have enough books. Almost looked like a Blockbuster, if anybody remembers Blockbuster, where you'd have the covers.
You have the covers
of the
facing
books.
Out. Yeah.
Right, and there's some great covers, but I was nervous as heck, you know. And the day that it opened, it was very emotional. A lot of people came out to support, you know, the local community bookstore, and they told me that that's what they wanted for their kids, for their families, for the community. So the titles that I started kind of looking at, I said, well, what's important? What are they picking up? 1984, I can't keep on the shelves right now. I don't know what that says about the current political climate. Animal Farm is another one. The Color Purple, Alice Walker, some Sherman Alexie stuff. These are all books that are being challenged. And I think that they like that they can come in, you know, and they're supporting a cause by buying a book. And they're also supporting an independent business owner in their own community.
Interesting. Let me go back to the phone lines now at 800-222-9455. And Susan is on line one from Dixon, Illinois. Susan, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you for the topic today, and thank you for your speakers. That's terrific. We have a wonderful bookstore in Dixon called Books on First. Been there for over 20 years. They also have coffee, which probably is one reason why it's still open. And they have a great selection. You know, they have local books. They often have authors in there, children's books as well. And you can always order a book if you don't see what you want.
What's your favorite section to browse at the bookstore there?
Well, I usually go for either fiction or historical fiction, but like not a romance thing. And then or just, you know, biographies like, you know, John Adams, Ben Franklin, that kind of thing. But they have everything there. Cookbooks, kids books, teen novels, you know, religious books, whatever, history, you know, it's all there.
All right. Books on First in Dixon gets a shout out from Susan in Dixon. Susan, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
And we would love to hear your example of an independent bookstore where you live that you like to shop at. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Tamara Felden, owner of the Artsy Bookworm in Rock Island, Elizabeth Asbury, owner of Bob's Bay in Bloomington, Dave Pedersen, who owns Maze Books in Rockford, and Melissa Peterson, who is with the Midwest Independent Booksellers Organization, or excuse me, Association, Midwest Independent Booksellers Association, where you can join this conversation again at 800-222-9455. And we're going to be back in just a moment. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the past, present, and future of independent bookstores in Illinois. We're talking about that with Tamara Felden, owner of the Artsy Bookworm, which opened last year in Rock Island. Dave Pedersen, owner of Maze Books in Rockford, which just opened this year. And Elizabeth Asbury has owned Bob's Bay in Bloomington since 2015. And we're also talking with Melissa Peterson, who's with the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. Short story. Earlier this year, I was looking to get my hands on a copy of Dave Eggers' latest novel, which was only available in hardcover in independent bookstores. And so the town where I live is something of a new first. There's some good used bookstores here, but it's something of a first run independent bookstore desert. And so I ended up having to drive about 40 minutes to get my hands on a copy of this book. I ended up buying two of them because they have, like, he did this thing where they all had very unique covers, and so I'm kind of nuts about that. So anyway, independent bookstores do have special promotions like that sometimes. Melissa, can you talk a little bit more about, you know, at a macro level, what independent bookstores offer that people can't get maybe at the Barnes & Noble?
For sure. That's a great question. So what's great about all these bookstores in Illinois and then throughout the Midwest is that they all have such unique personalities. You know, no store, no indie bookstore is the same as the next. And they're really, you know, driving that customer connection and building that sense of community. So that's something that, you know, you're just not going to get at that big box store. You know, I don't want an algorithm telling me what to read next. I want my favorite local bookseller who knows me, who knows my likes. I'm going to trust them a whole lot more. And that is what each of these stores offer. So they, through that model of business, they do become such pillars within their communities. And they do become such a backbone. So it's wonderful.
Tamara, can you talk about that in building that community of readers? I mean, you talked about, you know, supporting marginalized authors previously, Black authors in particular. And we noticed that Barnes & Noble recently drew some criticism for a policy that is going to make it so that authors aren't going to have hardcover releases stocked unless they're among a publisher's bestsellers. Some critics say that that would hurt marginalized authors. How do you go about, you know, showing support for those authors? You talked a little bit about that, but also building a community of readers.
Mm-hmm. So people have been finding us in part because we also carry toys, STEM toys for all ages. We also don't have a toy store in our town anymore and so on. So we have fairly broad offerings, all of which aim to be educational. And what happens is a customer will come in. The other day, a customer came in and indicated that she has a grandchild who's a teenager and a very hesitant reader. And we talked a little bit, and I was able to help her find a few books that might encourage a young reader who's not quite ready to take the leap into some more complicated things and so on. So that kind of personalized interaction certainly is something that I have found at all independent bookstores that I've visited, and certainly happens here. We have a book club. We regularly reach out to our community to talk about, here is what we're highlighting this month. Of course, September 18th begins Banned Book Week. We've decided to make all of September Banned Book Month, and our customers will come in and say, oh my gosh, that is banned? Why? And so we reach out to the community with the kinds of things that interest them, that speak to their experience. The fact that we connect with local authors also means that they reach out to other readers that they're aware of. So we have a lot in common, and a lot of conversations take place in the store. I've been in higher education all my life. I'm an educator, right? And so I will talk about books to anybody who will stand still long enough to listen. And so a customer came in and said, oh my gosh, all of these books are banned. And I said, actually, way more than these are banned. So here's a list. And she said, what's your favorite banned book? And we had a wonderful conversation. And others came in and listened. And so those are the kinds of interactions that you don't find in big box stores. The reader is front and center for us as the individual whom we hope to serve in some way. It's not just, can we sell a book? It's, can we help this individual have an enjoyable experience or learn a fascinating new thing by reading this? Or here is our newest book order arriving, and here is a book that a history buff who regularly comes in might enjoy, even though he hasn't ordered it. We'll send him an email and say, we've just gotten such and such, just in case you wanted to take a look, right? We get to know the people with whom we work. So they're not strictly customers. They become much closer to us, and I'm sure that's true of all of my colleagues who are independent bookstores. And that's part of the joy of it. To me, this is not at all a sales job. To me, this is an opportunity to connect with my community on matters that I care about, they care about, that we jointly like to pursue, and that are meaningful to us.
Dave Pedersen of Maze Books, you know, I was thinking when Tamara there mentioned banned books, right? And we're in a world now where there have been lawsuits aimed to get books like Genderqueer taken off library and even bookstore shelves. Dave, can you talk about the role that independent bookstores play in that world?
Sure. I mean, you can go back as far as Lawrence Ferlin Getty, you know, for City Lights, when he was arrested and put on trial for, you know, publishing Howl by Allen Ginsberg, and the booksellers won. This is not a new problem. This is a problem that we're always going to go through. And I think what we're seeing is, you know, you go to libraries, tax dollars, there's a lot of arguments from conservatives against using tax dollars for stuff they see as progressive or liberal. But even in private business, they're now going after them as well. If you have a you know, drag queen child's hour at your shop. They're now going to go and protest you. We are taking a little bit of risk, but it's part of our culture, part of who we are. You know, censorship is one of the most un-American things that you can have. We have the right to read about others that we may not come into contact with. We have the right to learn about other cultures, our differences. And it is kind of, you know, it's a little disturbing when the banned book list is, you know, an entire shelf of my store. And people say, hey, this is really challenged, this is really banned. And you say, yeah, but it's, you know, Catcher in the Rye has been banned for a while. I think that we can all guess at why things are different now and what they're targeting. I guess the question for those who want to remove these books is, what do they want to see, not what they don't want to see? I have no idea what it is that they're looking for.
Elizabeth, do you have thoughts on any of what we've been discussing here?
Yeah, I have to figure out how to phrase this without, you know, coming across very angry, because it is a subject that makes me very angry. Book banning recently has just been something that gets me very fired up. But I just, a lot of the books that are being banned and restricted in libraries recently or attempted to be banned are marginalized voices. You know, they're books about queer kids or Black kids in areas that you may not ever visit. And I think, you know, reading about others that are different than you, that have lives that are different than you, is how you become an empathetic person, is how you become a well-rounded person and learn to love everybody, learn to love others. It's just so important to listen to other voices. It's just so frustrating that a kid can't go into a library and feel safe picking up a book that reflects who they are now. And I'm very lucky that I'm in Central Illinois, where it isn't a huge issue yet. But you know, I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop, I guess.
Well, an independent bookstores provide an outlet where if they can't find it in the library, maybe they can find it there. In the time we have remaining, I do want to talk a little bit more about the business of running an independent bookstore. And Melissa from the Independent Booksellers Association, talk about bookshop.org and the effect the difference that has made for independent bookstores.
Yeah, if you want to talk about great timing, bookshop.org is the answer. They started just before the pandemic, and their sole mission was and is to drive clicks away from Amazon and the other big box stores. And they have really been a great answer for those smaller bookstores that didn't necessarily have an e-commerce solution, or they were so new that they just, you know, didn't have that squared away. And so from, you know, the pre-pandemic beginning, they have been able to raise, I believe, just over $22 million for local bookstores, which is amazing, because, you know, who doesn't need that money is the big box stores. And so they're all about supporting these indie stores and giving money back to them. So as much as we love them, you know, we always say, go to your bookstore first, go to their website, but bookshop.org is a great solution. And it's also great at building connections for stores that aren't necessarily in my area. You know, I can choose to support bookstores in Illinois, even though I myself am in St. Paul. So it is all around a wonderful platform.
Tamara, have you benefited at all from bookshop.org and their platform?
Yes, we certainly use it. We're actually a fairly small store. We have about 650 square feet of selling space, and we use every inch of it. But Bookshop is really essential to us. And so our customers use it. sometimes a customer contacts me and says, can you special order such and such a book? And for some reason or other, we do not have it available and can't get it. Sometimes bookshop is a solution. And so it expands what we're able to do. And we still have a fair number of customers who are not so comfortable being out and about because they have health challenges, whether that exposes them to greater risk during the pandemic still, or whatever the case may be. And I can say, you know, if you wanted to go online and take a look at that, there is quite a lot there and they can browse whenever they feel like it. We also work with Libro FM. A lot of our customers enjoy audiobooks. I enjoy audiobooks. I don't have as much time to read as I used to have. And so it's a similar system to where customers can go into the software and order books and designate a bookstore to benefit from their purchase. And a fair number of our customers do that. So there are a number of features out there that can help us expand beyond the relatively limited space and offerings that we can have, because most independent bookstores are just a good bit smaller than the big box stores.
I want to share one more tweet we got from a listener before the end of our conversation. John said, I'm the owner of Elf Shelf Books and Music in Springfield, and we are lucky enough to have four used bookstores in town. Our shop, which is, again, Elf Shelf, Prairie Archives, Books on the Square, and the Book Rack. John concludes by saying, born to read, forced to work. And I'm afraid that is all the time we have for our conversation today. We are going to be reading later, though. And I want to thank Melissa Peterson from the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association, Elizabeth Asbury of Bob's Bay in Bloomington, Tamara Felden of the Artsy Bookworm in Rock Island, and Dave Pedersen from Maze Books in Rockford. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st show, and good luck with your businesses.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to have an update on COVID-19. There are new vaccine booster shots coming online across Illinois, plus an update on monkeypox. We're going to be talking with a couple of physicians about that, plus a conversation on how sex workers are banding together in Missouri and coming to Illinois in light of the abortion ban there. And finally, a remembrance of September 11th, 21 years after the fact, that that remembrance is coming up this weekend. The 21st show is produced by Jose Zepeda and Christine Hatfield and Aiden Choate. Our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.